The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Lamar loses, so does Cam. So does Aaron Rodgers, but that meant Phillip Rivers won. Colts look good, huh? Taysom Hill and the Saints D looked good. In case you're wondering about can Taysom Hill be a quarterback, so far so good, and that Saints defense looked great. Tua benched. Burrow finished for the season. Well, that was a nasty injury. There's so much to get into. Mahomes coming back on the Raiders and Derek Carr, who looked good. That's not the first time he looked good against Mahomes and the Chiefs. Carson Wentz awful again. People finally seeing what I've seen the last year. Whew, is there stuff to get into? ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And where to begin? Can't even get into the NBA stuff. See Knicks fans happy that Nerlens Noel was signed. First Julius Randle, and now Nerlens Noel. Oh, well, the hits never stop coming. I think you got to start with the best player I've ever seen. The best quarterback I've ever seen, Patrick Mahomes. You know, when you give Patrick, and by the way, Derek Carr played very well, and so have the Raiders, and the Raiders have matched up well with the Chiefs this season. But when you give Patrick Mahomes over a full minute, what do you think is going to happen? Did anyone watching that game, did you have any doubt for a second that Patrick Mahomes, when he got the ball back, wasn't going to score? I knew he'd make it look easy. I didn't know he'd make it look that easy, playing catch with Travis Kelce and stuff. Just like, he's so much better than everyone else. You know, talking to Brett Favre on First Take last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, Mahomes reminds me a lot of Aaron Rodgers, obviously. That's the closest comp. But Mahomes is bigger and stronger, it looks like, than Rodgers. But he has that electric kind of arm like Favre did, which was even more like Rodgers could thread the needle, but Favre's arm was electric, and he was also a gunslinger, right? As Favre said, Patrick Mahomes, to be a gunslinger, to be Brett Favre minus the turnovers, he's unbelievable. And by the way, for those who would say that the Chiefs look vulnerable because of the defense, you know, okay, fine, not only were the Raiders, I think it was Orlovsky on First Take today, talking about how the Raiders were built to beat the Chiefs. Like, that's who they were built for, right? And they're divisional rivals and all that. But, like, if you want to talk about the kind of vulnerability of the Chiefs, why start, like, go back to, why just recently? Go back to the beginning of the season. They had to come back on a whole bunch of teams. A lot of teams look good against them. The Chargers and Justin Herbert, a lot of guys look good against them. And they kept coming back on them. And I told everyone at the time, when people did their power rankings, who's number one on your... The Chiefs. Yeah, but they didn't look good against this team and that team. The Chiefs. Because go back to last year's playoffs. It was the same thing. If you did power rankings through the playoffs, you'd say after the first playoff game they played, man, but they were down big to the Texans. Came back and won that game. The next playoff game against the Titans, and the Titans had a run game they could control the clock with and all this stuff, came back and beat the Titans. And in the Super Bowl, they're down double digits. They're down two scores in the fourth quarter, came back to beat the Niners. What's different between this year and last year? That way. Now, is the Chiefs' defense as good as it was last year? It wasn't. But I'll remind everyone, two Super Bowls ago, or two playoffs ago, the Chiefs were in the AFC Championship game against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And Tom Brady threw an interception that ended the game. Chiefs are heading to the Super Bowl, except that there was a pre-snap penalty that gave Brady and the Patriots the ball back. Mahomes never got to touch the ball again. If not for that penalty, but for that penalty, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, where, by the way, the Patriots won the Super Bowl in the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history against the Rams. You mean to tell me the Rams are going to hold the Chiefs' offense down like that? Not a chance. Chiefs would have won a Super Bowl that year. And their defense was not what it was. They remade it the following year when they actually won the Super Bowl, which was last year. And this year, their defense does not look great. Did not play a disciplined game. Wasn't great against the run, all this stuff. And yet, what happened? They won. And Patrick Mahomes ain't going undefeated. You know? He's going to lose some games. And why not to a divisional rival built to beat them? But when he got that ball back, and there was like 80 seconds on the clock, I'm like, you're giving Patrick Mahomes 80 seconds? Game's over. Here's a question. Would you rather be the root for the team where Patrick Mahomes gets the ball back with 80 seconds down and he has to score a touchdown, has to throw for a touchdown, or score a touchdown? Or would you rather be the team with the lead? Because I'd much rather be the team with Patrick Mahomes. Like, give me that moment in time where there's like a minute left on the clock and I'm down six and Patrick Mahomes gets the ball. I'd much rather be that team than the team up six. Any extra motivation for this game, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, there was no doubt we wanted to win, and I think the guys came to play. And, I mean, like I said, that's a great football team. Teams beat a lot of good football teams, including ourselves. And we needed everything we had to win this football game. And we have a great football team coming up this next week, so we're excited for the challenge this next week and moving on to that one.
You know who Mahomes reminds me of, the way he's a football nerd? Reminds me of, like, Andrew Luck or, like, Tom Brady or someone like that, like, or Russell Wilson. Someone like, when you hear them talk, you're like, that is the kind of plain Janist sort of football talk where you drank the Kool-Aid and you don't even have to pause to answer a question because you spit out the football answer, the team-friendly football answer, the PC football answer. But it's not like, remember Cam Newton 5 years ago? Where any question he was asked, it felt like he had to pause, run it through his mind. How can I answer this? Because I can't tell them what I really think. I got to tell them what they want to hear. How do I do that and still don't sell myself out? And it would come out all, oh, come on, Cam. That's not straight talk. And don't forget, this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. That's not straight talk. But if you listen to Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson talk, you go, listen to those football nerds. All they think about all day is football, and they drank the Kool-Aid so long ago that any question you ask them, they've internalized it all, spit it right out. Ooh, that's the kind of thing I want to hear from my quarterback. That's Mahomes, real football nerd. So you mean to tell me that the most talented guy ever, because he has Aaron, LeBron James is Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson had a baby, and it's LeBron James, right? And whenever I do that, it's always like the better those players are, the better the baby winds up. So like LeBron James is better than, say, Russell Westbrook. You know who Russell Westbrook is? Kobe Bryant and Allen Iverson had a baby. It's Russell Westbrook. Kobe and AI are not quite MJ and Magic, right? So, you know, Westbrook's not quite LeBron. Mahomes is like Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre had a baby. It's unbelievable. The most talented guy. You mean to tell me the most talented guy also spits out the football answer and it's perfectly politically correct by football kind of ideals, right? In the context of football, it's perfect, you know? Aaron Rodgers sometimes gives you the answer and you're like, he's thinking about this a little too much. How does that play in the locker room? He's talking a little too smart. Give me a little more meathead, you know, right, Aaron Rodgers? You know what I mean. Brett Favre gives that to you just right, but then with the game on the line, he's gunslinging, and it's like, oh, hold on. Brett, come on, man. It's not just you out there. Your teammates, I know that stuff that you do gives your team a chance to win in games they might lose, but maybe you can win this game if you just don't make that mistake. Mahomes is the combination of both those. Knows exactly what to say. He's the perfect football, you know, give you the football answer, face of the franchise quarterback. And it's totally like he believes everything he's saying. And then he gets out on the field and he's totally electric and basically mistake-free. Like, no one's perfect. But you can't get... He's 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions this year. You understand? He started his career 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, should have won the Super Bowl. Pre-snap penalty means they wind up losing in overtime where he doesn't get to touch it in the AFC Championship game. And he follows that up by improving his touchdown to interception ratio and winning the Super Bowl, coming from behind double digits in 3 consecutive games in the second half. And he follows that up by improving. He might wind up throwing more touchdowns than he did in year one with a better ratio than in year two. He's 27-2 right now, TD to interception ratio. And that's like the numbers don't tell you the story with this guy. You actually got to watch him. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Meantime, on the other end of the spectrum, by the way, hear what, before I move on, hear what Andy Reid said about Patrick Mahomes. Give me a minute and a half. I'm pretty good right there. We can roll. You know, he's like, I'm down a score, but Patrick Mahomes, I got Patrick Mahomes. I'm good. Yeah. And we all know it. We'd all rather have Mahomes down six with a minute left than be the team up six. 888-SAY-ESPN. Tell me I'm wrong. Meantime, on the other end of the spectrum, the Eagles' Doug Peterson, head coach. First, he's at, I mean, the headlines you're seeing today. See, I watch this stuff. The headlines you're seeing today are that Carson, benching Carson Wentz would send the wrong message, right? Peterson said that Wentz would remain the starting quarterback for Monday night's game against the Seahawks, you know, in spite of Wentz's continued struggles, 21-35, 235 yards, two TDs and two interceptions. But that makes him sound better than he was, including a pick six in Sunday's loss to the Browns, right? But here's the real question that I want you guys to hear the answer to. This tells me everything I need to know, because, you know, I've heard a lot over the last couple of years. And by the way, I was a huge Wentz supporter in 17. In 2017, I was saying he and not Tom Brady are the MVP at the moment he got hurt late in the season. I thought he was the best player in football that year. And he was great on the money down, great on third down, best in the league. And now he's the worst in the league on the third down. But I started hearing things about Jeffrey Lurie and how Wentz has a direct line to the owner and how the team is scared of Wentz, how his teammates are. Now listen to Doug Peterson, Eagles head coach, Super Bowl winning coach, who didn't do it with Wentz. I mean, he put them in a position by winning a lot of regular season games, but it was Nick Foles who took over before the end of the season and won every single playoff game, including the Super Bowl, where Nick Foles was Super Bowl MVP. And the following season, they were sub-500 and dead in the water when Foles took over the team. They caught fire, they made the playoffs, and they went on the road and won a playoff game at Soldier Field against a Bears team a lot of people liked to get out of the NFC because of their defense that year. And he followed that up by going to New Orleans, where it's really hard to win. And if his receiver turns around, Foles hit him in the chest, probably wins that game too. That's a title defense, even if you don't ultimately go back-to-back winning Super Bowls. Almost no one has ever done that. But that's a valiant title defense. That's a valiant effort. That was all Nick Foles. Nick Foles just ran the offense Peterson wanted to run. Does Carson Wentz? Hey, coach, if you wanted to bench Wentz, could you make that decision on your own?
If you get to that spot, whether you don't start him or you bench, I think you're sending the wrong message to your football team that the season's over, and that's a bad message. And you know, we have to work through this. Times, you know, when times get tough, it's, you know, sometimes that might be the easy thing to do. And this business is about work. This business is about, you know, detailing, having ownership, things I talk about with the team. And that's what we got to do. That's coaches and players. That's not one guy. You know, it's bigger. This sport's bigger than one guy. And we all have a hand in it, and we all have to fix it.
What kind of non-answer is that? Everyone heard that, right? That's a dude who's not trying to answer the question. Coach, this is a straightforward question to a Super Bowl winning coach. It wasn't 20 years ago he won it. It was a couple of years ago. Won the Super Bowl. Outcoached Belichick. Well, at least he beat Belichick. The question, coach, was, it's very simple. If you wanted to bench Wentz, could you make that decision on your own? And the fact that he answered it that way tells you everything you need to know. The answer is no. Obviously, he can't make that decision on his own. Because if he could, he would say, yes, I can make that decision, and I am choosing not to. But he chose not to give you that answer because he's covering. Who's he covering for? The GM? Is it Howie Roseman? Or is it the owner, Jeffrey Lurie? My money's on the owner. Wentz got a direct line to the owner. Why else do you think Wentz would get up there and talk about a couple weeks ago, after another terrible performance, why do you think he'd get up there and say, hey, this is probably the line I'm going to have to walk my whole career. I'm never going to get that just right, right? Like knowing when not to try to extend the play. That's the way Hero was key. The way we do things around here. What? The way we do things around here. That's why you're bad. And let me tell you something. And I told this to Dan Orlovsky on First Take today. The reason he's in this situation, the reason Wentz is in this situation is because of Dan Orlovsky and people like him. Because Wentz really needed... Well, let me start at the beginning. Let's start with the facts, shall we? Through 10 games, Carson Wentz has been outplayed by every single opponent this year. 10 games. It's nearly impossible to do. How are you outplayed by 10 straight opponents? And as I've made this point in the past, he hasn't played a who's who of quarterbacks this year. He's played backups mainly, third stringers, and Daniel Jones twice. Wentz is the lowest rated starting quarterback with at least 250 throws in the NFL. He has 18 turnovers. Where do you think that ranks in the league? It's the most in the league. And now he's thrown 14 interceptions in 10 games. Remember, we had Casey Joyner, the football scientist, on Friday. You know what he said? Back in the day, what separated Tom Brady and Peyton Manning was their good decision rate, right? They very rarely made poor decisions. Nowadays, everyone's making good decisions. You got to make good decisions and have talent. And the quarterbacks who make good decisions don't even have that big an advantage because so many quarterbacks are making good decisions. Not Wentz. 14 interceptions in 10 games. He has more turnover-worthy plays than any other player in football. Because not every play he makes that's turnover-worthy results in a turnover. Now, since he's entered the league, he has more fumbles than any player. He had a fumble yesterday. He has 10 fumbles in 10 games. He was the top-rated third-down quarterback, as I mentioned, in the entire league in 2017 by passer rating. He's thrown to convert exactly one third down now in his last 9 quarters. On the money down, last 9 quarters, one conversion. He's being paid $108 million. By the way, I'm not down. I don't tell a player not to make his money. I don't expect the world out of Carson Wentz because he's not good. Carson Wentz has enormous talent. I was a huge supporter of his. Little by little, that has been chipped away through his play. Do you think that I was just... I started saying this in the middle of last year, and then suddenly it turned out to be true, and I was lucky? No, I noticed his regression. This is year 5 for this dude. Worst completion percentage and quarterback rating of his entire career in year 5. But worse than that, his confidence is shot. You can see the confidence is shot. And decision-making is awful. Bad at situational football. Doesn't see the field. What he sees, you can see he doesn't trust. No internal clock. It's shot. Mechanics all over the place. Should have had more than 2 interceptions yesterday. So why do I blame it on Orlovsky? Because at the end of last season, when he was getting healthy against the NFC East, he won 4 games against the worst division in the history of football until this year's NFC East. Instead of because he was being praised and lauded for that, he's an MVP candidate. He was awful. He was turning the ball over on third down in the fourth quarter all the time, and they were lucky to recover. And then he makes some plays against the worst teams you've ever seen. And oh my God, Wentz. So what he should have done in the offseason is soul searching. Carson Wentz should have been thinking, I got to clean this up. I got to get better. But instead, he's reading his press clippings and talking about this is just the way we do things around here. Now, what's the future for Wentz? You need to fix his mechanics, his internal clock, his decision-making, the way he sees the field, his understanding of situational football, now his shattered confidence. You need to deprogram him, and he has to relearn everything in year 5 with a $108 million contract, talking about this the way we do things around here. I told you 3 or 4 weeks ago, you got to sit him down for a game, not because Jalen Hurts gives you a better chance to win. He doesn't. But because Wentz has to be accountable to the team the way McNabb was held accountable when he was benched during the season 1 year. I forgot already what year it was, but he sat down during the season, got to the NFC Championship game. I told you 3-4 weeks ago to do it. They didn't do it. Too late now. Even if you sit him down, it's too late. There's too much damage done. Here's my conclusion. The Carson Wentz of 2017 is gone, never to return. When Jeffrey Lurie asks himself, what happened to my quarterback, he needs to look in the mirror. Max Kellerman Show, big weekend in the NBA.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's even worse than the audio you heard. First of all, when I saw that play, I did not want to see a replay. I don't know if they showed one or not. I couldn't look at it because that leg, I've seen it once, looked like it was going in the wrong direction. And when I heard ACL, I thought, okay, phew, that was lucky. No. MRI, according to Adam Schefter, revealed more damage than anticipated. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow tore his ACL, MCL, and suffered other structural issues in his knee as well. Oof. He needs to be like Steve Austin. They're going to have to rebuild that whole knee. The bionic quarterback. Oh, it's such a shame. Joe Burrow was so fun to watch and so excellent at such a young age and such a promising career. And the effectiveness of the rest of that career, it seems to me, is now in jeopardy. And because the Bengals couldn't protect him. And look, the Bengals have a bad offensive line. Most bad teams who pick number one overall do. And even those who would say, well, that's why you put kind of a tackling dummy back there for a while and then you let the young kid come in. Well, you know, Kurt Warner, who turned out to still be a great quarterback, was used that way by the Giants, and then Eli eventually took over. But Eli got hit a lot behind the line. He's just like he was very tough and lucky that he never had to suffer a catastrophic injury. You know, it's just the way it goes. Those young quarterbacks, Eli and Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, all played and played well pretty early in their careers. And Eli and Rivers were iron men for years. And Roethlisberger, you know, he got hit a lot more. He's bigger, stronger, stood and took more shots. But he's still playing. He's 38 years old, just came back from a catastrophic injury. He's playing very well. You're going to get hit. It's just some of it with the NFL is the luck of the draw, man. Some of it, like the difference between a career-ending or altering injury or a season-ending injury and someone who avoids it, some of it's just luck. They didn't get tackled in such a way that their knee caved in. Ooh, that's brutal. You feel so bad for Joe Burrow and Bengals fans, especially Joe Burrow. Oh, my God. And he so clearly had it from the very beginning. Well, we'll see what they can do. They're going to have to do a lot of work on that knee. He's going to have a long, arduous comeback ahead of him. It's not like that's never been done before. And, you know, everyone's rooting for him, of course. But to me, this sounds like more than just a season-ending kind of injury. This sounds like a next-season-altering kind of injury, at least. That's just sucks. The Lakers, on to happier news, finalized a 2-year deal with Marc Gasol. They traded JaVale McGee, who, by the way, JaVale McGee tweeted at me about how I was taking shots at the Lakers for, you know, Pelinka, I was very critical of. And the JaVale McGee signing, all right, $4 million on JaVale McGee. You can, you know, I guess at that price, it wasn't bad, but McGee wasn't very good and all this. And McGee said, he tweeted at me, he's going to show me. And he was right. He was right. He played well and was easily worth the contract. And then some. And it was JaVale and a future second-round pick to the Cavs to help clear way for Marc Gasol, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. I don't know if Gasol, is that a Woj bomb? That's maybe a little Woj. It's a Woj projectile of some kind. I'm not sure that it's a bomb. The former Raptors and Grizzlies center, Gasol, is set to make the veteran minimum. That's $2.56 million, according to ESPN's Bobby Marks. That's a nice pickup. Gasol is no longer, like, really part of the kind of nucleus of the team's offense, but he still can be on defense, and he can stretch the floor. That's just a nice piece to have. And by the way, when you see a guy like Dennis Schroeder sign with the Lakers, like if you saw a team pick up Schroeder and Gasol as pieces of a rotation that were going to get real minutes, you might not be like, oh my God, those are amazing moves. You'd say, okay, solid basketball moves. But when you have LeBron and AD, all of a sudden those kind of guys are murder for the opposition. Because when you have LeBron on your team, not to mention with a guy like AD, if anyone hits a shot, you're like, well, if so-and-so is hitting a shot with these two other guys, not a lot you can do. But Schroeder is coming off, he was always a good, you know, point guard with, looks like, upside. But, you know, when you're on a bad team, when you're on a Magic, and you're putting up numbers in losing efforts, you're like, are those empty calories? Especially if you're not a defender. But Schroeder played defense. I was very surprised. He played defense. At least when I watched him, he looked good defensively. Like, good defensively. Not just like he's trying to play defense. Like, he was an effective defender. And if you're playing defense and also hitting your shots better than normal clip, and you're a guy with Schroeder's kind of talent, that is a real nice player. You know what that is? That's a league average starting point guard. And before it sounds like I'm damning him with faint praise, that's a great thing. If you're a league average, it's like being a league average quarterback in the NFL. You got to be pretty good. And with a piece like Gasol, now you have spacing with a big who can also play defense. And you have another player. Maybe Schroeder won't be Rondo in the playoffs, right? Because playoff Rondo's special. But in the regular season, he'll be better. He'll be way better than Rondo in the regular season. And I expect Gasol to be more useful to this team than JaVale McGee. And Danny Green, who's a nice player. I'm a big fan of Danny Green's, but he did not have a very good year for the Lakers. Lakers got better. They're going to need to get better because the Nuggets are coming. Although the Warriors, oof. But the Nuggets are looking good. And there are other teams in the Western Conference, including the Mavericks, who, if they can stay healthy, are going to be a problem. The Clippers are still going to be a problem. Remember, I was pointing to the Lakers and thinking that they wouldn't win in year one, but they would win this upcoming season. Because the first time superstars get thrown together, sometimes it takes a year. Like, the first year, they're a powerhouse. But in that next season, LeBron has experienced this twice, once in Miami, and then once in Cleveland. Then the following season, he won the whole thing. But in fact, that happened to the Clippers. You know, as much as I said, look, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were just kind of parachuted into a functional team with a real head coach and ownership that was very competent and a really, you know, a good team. But in fact, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari were ripped out of that team. And then those two superstars were kind of parachuted in and they had chemistry issues. But the Clippers are coming. It's going to get more competitive in this upcoming season. The Lakers needed reinforcements. They've made smart moves to get them. And that's to say nothing of the reigning sixth man of the year, Montrezl Harrell. Defecting off the Clippers, going to the Lakers. Two-year deal for the mid-level exception. $9.25 million in year one, $9.72 in year two. But that's the kind of player Harrell is. Harrell's also a nice piece. He got abused by Jokic, but like a lot of guys will get abused by Jokic. But all of a sudden, you look at the Lakers, you go, hold on, who's coming in? Montrezl Harrell and Marc Gasol and Schroeder? These are very useful pieces to a team with a nucleus of LeBron and AD. Tatum gets the max extension, duh, of course he will, and he's worth every penny. As did Donovan Mitchell, worth every penny. No, not Donovan Mitchell. Who am I saying? Was it Donovan Mitchell? Who else got the max extension? Well, I'll tell
Jason
you.
Jason Tatum?
Up. It was Tatum and someone else who got a max extension. And they were worth every penny. Say it again? I said Donovan Mitchell. I thought Donovan Mitchell was already locked up to the max extension. I don't know. Anyway, the point is, Austin Rivers, 3 years, $10 million deal with the Knicks. The Knicks, I have to say, I make a lot of fun of the Knicks, right? Like, Nerlens Noel. Oh, they got Nerlens Noel and Julius Randle, right? Austin Rivers, you know. But they're not making stupid moves. What I notice about the Knicks is they still can't get anyone to take Dolan's money. But they're not doing things that are going to hurt them long term as they used to do. I can't really be critical of any of the moves they're making. I just can't stand Dolan because he's the least competent owner in the NBA. And he owns the team I rooted for as a child. Is it time to start wondering about Lamar Jackson's play? No doubt, coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, let's hear it, Devin. Right, no doubt. Rod usually does this. Let's see if you can handle these responsibilities.
I got big shoes to fill. I'm a little nervous. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. First up, the Eagles should bench Carson Wentz.
No doubt. In fact,
no doubt.
In fact, whatever. Because I was saying they needed to bench him, you know, weeks ago. At this point, it may be too late. He may be too far gone. But you must hold him accountable if he's on the team. It's not about Jalen Hurts giving you a better chance to win. It's about holding the team accountable. He has so many bad plays a game, it's unbelievable. Bad mechanics, bad decision-making, no internal clock. He has to be held accountable to his teammates. Next.
The Steelers are the best team in the NFL.
Nah, son. Come on. The Steelers are 10-0. The best team in the NFL is the Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champions. And it's nothing the Steelers are doing wrong. You know, I was saying today on TV that the Steelers are closer to underrated than overrated because they're well-rounded, and great well-roundedness sometimes doesn't look as impressive as an overwhelming offense. But, you know, look, if you put Patrick Mahomes on the Steelers, yeah, they'd win the Super Bowl. But he's not. He's on the Chiefs. The Chiefs are better.
The Giants are the best team in the NFC East.
No doubt.
No doubt.
I think the Giants might be. At least they're trending in that direction. The Giants play defense. And Daniel Jones is... Well, he's no worse than the other quarterbacks in the division. If maybe at this moment, he may be the best quarterback in the division, which is, you know, not saying much, but still, the Giants are playing better football than the other teams. Although, the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, I give him credit. I was critical of the hire. I made fun of him early. He has the Cowboys ready to play, and that started with a loss to the Eagles, I noticed it. They came out ready to play. And so you know, among in the worst division in football history, right now I'd take either the Cowboys or the Giants.
It's time to be worried about Lamar Jackson's play.
Nah, son, nah. You don't have to be worried about his play yet. The fact is, the league has adjusted to him. We have to now see if he can adjust back. That always is the case. Has he hit a kind of a rough spot? Yep, they've hit a rough patch because they won't give him anything in the middle of the field. And they won't let him get, you know, break off those outside runs, right? Like, the league has figured that out. So they're like, vertical passing game. Let's see you do it. Throw outside the numbers, kid. And he can do it, but he has not done it consistently enough. So he's going to have to show that. And Harbaugh is going to have to, they are going to have to, you know, make some adjustments too. To emphasize what he does well and minimize his weaknesses. But Lamar Jackson can play. And the question as to whether he will be a memorable player for a time or whether he turns out to be a great player is on him. Let's see him make the adjustments. No doubt, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Is there only one team in the NFL equipped to beat the Chiefs?